Hi, everyone, and welcome to the week three of the question and answers for the 7 weeks to financial success and fulfillment program. This is your coach, Mary Ayers. Well, another week of great questions. You guys are really getting the idea behind the tapping and what to work on. So a lot of the questions that I'm getting are, how do I find more of the issues? How do I get to the core? And so I know, you know, I won't be able to get to all of these questions, but I will answer as many as I can, and then, as typical, go ahead and listen to them, listening to the answers to see how that might have fit your question. I get very similar questions, even though the details may be slightly different, but I know that if you just listen to all of the answers here, you're going to start to find that there are some clues, some skills that you're acquiring as you go through these modules, as you're tapping, and some of the questions really just help us to really fine-tune that. So let's start with Haley's question. She says, "Hi, Nick. As I've tapped every day, I've noticed a pattern of thought or feeling which seems to be underlying everything that I feel I need to work on in my life. Feeling of not enough. Not enough confidence. Not enough as a mother. Not enough experience. Not enough money. Not enough spirituality, etc. I have felt this way from so young, but can't pinpoint an event or circumstance of where it came from. My question is, do I need to find out where this came from to release it? How do I change this to feeling I am enough? As I tap on it, I still feel quite empty and not enough, even when I say it in the positive. Any advice would be wonderful, please, as I'm stuck on this for, well, my whole life, really. Thank you, Haley." Well, Haley, first of all, you know, this is evidence of you really kind of coming down to one of your core beliefs of not being enough. And it's been such a mantra, as you've noticed, through so many areas of your life, is that has been the reason. Somewhere you came up with a conclusion, okay? Whether it was a particular event or whether it was many different times in your life that this was the conclusion that you came up with, it must be because I'm not enough. And we make a lot of those decisions very, very early in our life, and we may not always remember where they came from. So two things I would say to you, and this goes for everybody who's asked the question about trying to get to those specific events. When we can remember, we came up with these conclusions. And I've struggled with this myself, so, you know, I don't have a great memory of a lot of very, very specific things. And so that's okay. You know, sometimes when you're just tapping on, even though I have this conviction, and it's a belief, and it's one that is really embedded into your identity, I am not enough. It's made like a statement, like the truth. And so when we're tapping, you can tap for, as if you were fighting for that belief, for the strength of it, for the validity of it. And because as you do, it has been so embedded that as you combine the tapping with that belief, you're actually helping that belief to get a little wiggle room on it so that it has the possibility of, is that really true? Is that true now? Even though I came up with that as a solution at one point in my life because of whatever was happening in my life, I choose to know that I can change it. I'm changing it now. Even though part of me is holding on to this belief that I'm not enough for whatever reason, I'm still open to changing it. I'm still open to rewriting it. Maybe it's no longer true. I choose to be more open and find other ways of looking at myself and my experiences in the world. So you start to play with it. And I know that I hit up with some of those different affirmations. And sometimes it takes writing a few affirmations down so that you can read them. And because you're not always able to come up with them when we're in the midst of tapping. Same thing happens for me. It's a little easier sometimes for us to focus on the part that we no longer want or the belief or the feeling that we're having. And sometimes we can get a little tongue-tied when it comes to, how would I want to do this instead? Remember, you can always use the great default of, I still love and accept and maybe forgive myself. Because it's always about, even though I had this experience, even though I have this belief in the present as well as in the past, I still love and accept myself. So that's always a great default one. Perfectly acceptable. And then you can add to that. You can add some different affirmations if you want. I would advise, especially in the beginning, that people write down a few so that they don't feel that they're fumbling around. It's funny how it's the smallest thing that can really hang us up from doing our tapping. And this is one of them, right? If you don't know what I'm going to say when I come to the positive, I say, then take a second and write it down. Go back to one of the tappings that maybe Jessica has done or Nick has done and write them down. You have the transcripts. You have access to the transcripts. So you can actually go in, look at the transcripts, pull out some of those affirmations that you really like, write them down, and then once you've done your statement of what currently is, the first part of that setup statement, even though I, then go back in and just make the statement, but read the affirmation that you have. The other thing you can also do is, you know, put those affirmations up around your house so that the more you see them, the more you are chanting them in your head. These are all wonderful tools. Remember, you're not just changing something with your tapping, but you are also making changes at deeper levels. And the more that you can expose yourself to any of those types of things, the more you're accelerating the shifts and the changes vibrationally, energetically, within your identity. All of these are changing. And so these are some different ways of doing that. So being able to, when you've identified something and it feels like such a truth, know that there are probably a lot of experiences you had, some of them almost so small that you didn't even recognize, well, that's probably because I'm not enough, or that was my conclusion. These kinds of things take a little while, many times, to turn. But ask yourself on a scale of 0 to 10, how true does that statement feel? So now you're just really asking yourself, truth. How true does it feel? How strong of a conviction? And in the beginning, it might be a 10, but you want to be able to see it over time. In the past Q&A, I gave a little bit of an exercise. He said, you know, if you write this down this week, write down the statement in a journal or somewhere that you can come back and check on it, and then make the statement, I am not enough. Feel the conviction behind that. Let's say it's a 10. You tap on it. Even though I'm not enough, I just know I'm not enough. This is the way it is. It's a fact. I've known it all my life. It's a part of my identity. I still accept myself, even with this belief, and I'm still open to changing it. So you would do that, and then let's say a week from now, and you've done it, do it a couple of times during the week, an event may come to you, because you're asking yourself, where else do I feel this feeling? When does this feeling come up? You may find some specific events from the past, but I'm going to bet you find some specific events right here in the present. Because if you become aware of it, you start to realize that you go to do something and you question yourself and you find yourself right there in that moment saying, well, I'm not good enough at this, or I'm not, you know, I wasn't a good mom, or I'm not very good with finances. You'll go, oh my gosh, I am saying that today. Here I am working this program, I'm tapping, and here I'm tapping, I'm trying to get rid of the times I used to do it, and I find out that I'm still doing it. It's like taking one cup or one bucket and emptying out water, and then today I say something and it sounds like I'm still not enough, and I've just taken a bucket and filled it back up with water. So as you become aware, my gosh, I am still saying this to myself. No wonder it's not clearing. I'm still doing it. Then you be able to catch yourself in that moment of recognizing I am still saying that. And now you are in your point of power. Because right here, right now, is when you get to put a new label on it. And you start to say to yourself, how else might I define this experience? Am I going to say it's because I'm not enough, or what am I going to say? Am I going to say, so I'm doing the best I can? Am I going to say, I'm learning? Am I going to say, wow, right now is my point of power. I can put a new meaning on this and then throw one on there. Might I just add something like, you know, life loves me, I'm safe, I live in an abundant universe, that is when you have the moment of changing the future, because you've changed it right in that moment. So these things happen simultaneously. Not only am I opening up the space around this belief that I had and any event that might have supported it, but I am also laying new groundwork. Okay? You're always laying new groundwork. It is a addition model. It's not just a subtraction model. I'm getting rid of stuff. You're also implanting, you're embedding, you're growing new things. If you do nothing but weed a garden, all you end up with is something empty. It doesn't naturally grow something healthy just because you've taken out the weeds. So we want to do both. We want to put both those things in there. So if the statement is, I'm not enough, what is your new statement going to be? And this goes for everybody out there who has a statement similar like this, is you're starting to work on, what am I going to plant in this garden that I'm so carefully and diligently weeding? Is what am I going to put there so that I have this place to go to? So you're working, you're tapping each week, and you come to the next week and you make the statement again, right? This goes in your journal. I'm not enough. You make that statement and you ask yourself again, how true does that feel? 0 to 10. Maybe this week it feels true and you feel it only at an 8. All right, you're still tapping it on that week. You're still using, even though I still feel that I'm not enough, it is such an old belief. I've had this belief forever. I'm not sure where I got it from, but wherever that was, I choose to release it now. Even though I still have this belief I'm not enough, I'm delighted to see that I'm starting to make a small change. So, see, each week you just keep working at it. Again, you're asking yourself, when do I notice it in my current life? Am I finding myself turning towards that less and less? Am I finding myself slightly less critical? That critical voice is just not showing up as much as it used to in my day-to-day actions. That's when you start to realize, wow, that is really dissipating, because I'm not noticing it in my current life as much. I don't have to keep looking backwards. I want to look forward, and I'm noticing I'm not saying that as often. What am I saying instead? And you start to realize, oh my gosh, I'm starting to replace this little by little. Third week comes along. Well, you're getting the idea here. I'm sure of it. You know, you say it again. You've got it in your journal. You're saying to yourself, I'm not enough. And you say, my gosh, it feels about a 7. And again, you're tapping for it. Anything that comes up, anything that, where did I feel this way before? That's your past work. You're also noticing in the present, have I been saying that as much? Have I noticed that as much? By gosh, you notice that there, you turn less to that as being the reasoning that you give to anything that's happening in your life. That is shift. That's how we really start to see some of the shifts in our lives, as we're changing these by tapping. Our next one is, James says, why do I feel like I can't take action to prospect people about my business? James, what is, I mean, you don't give me quite a bit, so I should say, I can't take action. And my question would be is, what is your theory about why that is, why you can't take action? What exactly is getting in your way? So one of that is you can feel the feeling of, I can't. Is it a rebellion, or is it a fear? I can't, I can't, I can't. Or is it a rebellion? I won't, I won't, I won't. Now, both of those are obviously very tappable, because you can, again, depending on which direction you take, and it might flip-flop for people who might be surprised that it can very much flip-flop, is sometimes it feels like, I won't take action. I just refuse to. And you would say that, even though I absolutely will not take action. The other is the fear and panic that come up, is that, what action is it that you are not feeling comfortable taking? Is there phone calls that you need to make? I just can't make this phone call. Start to peel, you know, figure out a way to make a big issue a little bit more handable, because what action is it that you're not willing to take? And so then you can look at that and ask yourself, What is it about this that makes me uncomfortable? Now, you can do this just tapping through the points and just thinking to yourself, you know, let me give you an example. I have a client that I work with who is in real estate. He feels he needs to go and knock on doors, all right? That's the thing he knows he's dragging his feet on, not wanting to do that. So we've done a couple of things. One we can tap on, even though I refuse to do that, I don't want to. The truth is, he really doesn't want to do it, but he feels he has to do it for his business, which becomes some of those words. You know, even though I'm supposed to be doing it and I really don't want to, we tap on that. We go back to, what does this remind you of? Where else in your life have you had to do something you didn't want to do? And what came up for him, this is just an example for you, was in school. He really struggled with school. And he was told time and time again that, you know, hey, you have got to do this. You've got to sit down. You've got to apply yourself. He wanted to play soccer, but his dad, you know, dad was on there and he says, well, you'll be able to play soccer after you do this. And so, you know, these are natural things. I mean, these are not huge traumatic events, but they are times in our life where we didn't get to make the choice and we had a rebellion, we had a say so, and we had to do things, and that can very well show its head for us. Now, there are many things that could be taking place in this, you know, for you, James, is, you know, what would it mean for you if you did have more business? What's the downside of that? Would you be overly busy? Would you not be able to do something? You know, you have to ask yourself these questions about the downsides of things. I'll give you a little exercise we did that was tapping, that included tapping and visualization, as I would have him stand, imagine being on the sidewalk and looking at the door, looking at the house and tapping while looking at it and talking to it. You know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, and talking a little bit more around what was he anticipating would happen. Well, of course, he was anticipating being rejected, being shut down, and was feeling the feeling of that. So we added that in. It's just, he was talking, and I asked him a question, you know, what's going through your mind? What do you think's going to happen if you do make that phone call? And, or you go up and knock on that door. And he approached the door, and he, you know, in his mind, in this visualization, he walked up to the door, saw himself, the woman answering, and asked him what she was going to say, what was he going to say to her and whatnot, and he kept tapping. I mean, and he was just tapping, watching this visualization, talking about all the things that he thought were possible that could happen. And then I'd have him kind of, okay, start again, see yourself on the sidewalk, now see yourself approach the door, and she answers, what's the look on her face, what is she saying to you, what are you saying to her? And actually, what he loved about this, because by the end he was feeling really good and he was going, I have to get off this call because I want to go and knock on some doors. He really did feel good about it. He could see the potential in it, is that he found that the more he tapped with it and he got a chance to practice, in other words, the words were coming out of his mouth, what his script would be, what her response would be, what he would say, he got more and more clear about what he was going to say. And he did that through tapping and talking and being able to fumble a little bit and stumble a little bit and start back up. And then, of course, we just kind of rewound it, put him back on the sidewalk, saw him approaching the door. And each time he did that, he was getting more and more confident in what his message was. And so by the end, it was really more of a matter of him just taking the next logical action, which he felt absolutely ready to take. And I'm waiting for an email from him as we speak. I haven't heard from him, but I'm waiting for the email. So this is you. It's funny because we talk about events, old events, and going back and looking at the old event, but you can take a current event of something that you would be doing, approaching you know, somebody about a sell that you would want to make, or a networking event that you would be taking, or a presentation that you have to do, and you can do the event forward. It's just the same way as you did it backwards. See it happening. Be tapping and talking about it. Where do you anticipate that you're going to screw up? Where do you anticipate that somebody's going to give you a strange look, and you're going to see that look, and you're going to think, oh my God, I've lost them. They're bored. They're thinking, why are you wasting my time? What is, you know, this doesn't have anything to do with me. You're not very good at this. And then repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Okay, that's an event in the future as opposed to a past event. So for anybody who was asking about what am I doing about past events, is that, you know, your mind already is anticipating what's going to happen in the future. And this is an opportunity. It really becomes an opportunity for you to work on the anxieties that come up, because your mind is taking the past, projecting it onto the future, and if you can't find a past event, then create a future event where you anticipate something happening. Tap on that. There's a really good likelihood that you are tapping on an old event because your mind had to go into that file in order to anticipate it and project it into the future. And so you may be getting it even if you can't identify it, what that past event might have been. And so this is plays into the future and the past. This is great stuff. That's why you guys are, I'm so excited that you ask these great questions, because you are right where you need to be. You're in the third module. You're really looking towards, how am I going to use this and continue using it, not just for the past, but obviously for everything that's coming up in front of you. And this is how you do it. So James, let me know how that goes. Kathy asks, is it okay to tap for an hour or two, or would that scramble my energy? Well, Kathy, first of all, I think that's a really long time. I mean, that's a great deal of time to be tapping. Now, you didn't mention whether or not it was at one time or if it was every single day. And let me just kind of answer generally is that, you know, doing 1 or 2 hours daily, 3 or 4 times a week, that's a quite a bit of time. To do it all at one time, I would ask, you know, is there a way for you to be able to spend small periods of time more over the week than to spend so much time? The only time I will share with you that I have found that I have tapped for extended periods of time has been when I have been completely emotionally hijacked in a particular situation. And it's, you know, will still happen once or twice, maybe a year, that time where your body just feels flooded and you're in just a high anxious state, that I've needed to tap for an hour in order to help my whole body kind of come down. And but I haven't found that to be, and I haven't found many people who have found that, you know, to be their daily experience. Will it scramble my energy? Well, I'm just going to say, you know, is that I would ask you to feel for, if you weren't working that, you know, that long, what would come up? Is there an anxiety that you is driving you to tap for an hour or two? Is there an anxiety about, this needs to work? What if it's not working? I need to get to everything. It's imperative that I find every little thing and clear this block. Kathy, I'd also ask you, what is tapping that long keeping you from doing? You know, even the good stuff can sometimes be a way of procrastination. So if you were able to tap for short periods of time, what would it leave you time to do? What is it possible that you might be putting off by spending so much time? Now, I know I'm not just answering your question about, will that scramble my energy? I'm asking a lot of other questions, because sometimes that might give you a little bit more insight than just a yes or no about your energy. So I would love to hear what you think that might be. Joe says, when I listen to the Q&A or the webinar and I tap, I feel safe and always better. But when not tapping, I am anxious and scared. I don't feel safe when I tap with the meditation, but I do get relief. Then as soon as I stop, the fear and the anxiety come back. Is this normal? Well, Joe, this question was asked in some shape or form by several people who would say that they can feel the difference the tapping is making and that they're not feeling that it's really lasting, might be the answer. In other words, it feels like it, you know, it is coming back, or it rises back up. They're lowering it and it's rising back up. My thought would be is that it's real possible that you may be tapping in a very global way. What we really notice is that that's why we can come back to those specific events. By taking out that particular image in your mind of a past event or even an imagined past event, and seeing that happening, seeing somebody say something to you that was devastating, seeing that thing happen to you, when we take that, make it a specific event, and we tap on it, and you go back and you say, okay, now look at that one time, chances are you will continue to find that your anxiety and fear or any reaction to that event is gone, and it stays gone. And so that is why we encourage people to find, you know, the work is so great when you find the specific event. Now, you may find relief for a while because you are thinking about a specific event, but as soon as that one's done, up pop a bunch of other ones, other things that say, yeah, but what about this and what about that? Here's another one. Here's another one. It feels like, oh my gosh, like popcorn, pop, 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 you know, all over the place and stuff. And so that may be true. I mean, in the sense that it can happen because your mind is saying, hey, while you're at it, how about me? You know, think about me, think about me, and put your attention on it. I would say to you that maybe if you shift to kind of toggle a little bit, maybe spend sometimes in a general way, being able to say, I'm bringing this anxiety about life, this anxiety about success, this money anxiety that I have. You can be global like that, but do know that that may pop up. Ask yourself this, though. When I say it may pop up, is it popping up to where it was? Does it only kind of pop up to maybe a 7 instead of a 10? Are you in general starting to lower the overall volume of the anxiety in your body when you think about things? And so there's more than one way to judge progress. And one of them is by taking specific events, looking at them, reviewing them, and really seeing that I no longer have any emotion around that. If you find that an old event that you're revisiting, there is some emotion, chances are it will be an aspect of it that you didn't think about in the last tapping, and that if you go back in and do some more tapping around that specific aspect of it, that you will in fact find that it too then releases, and if it comes up again, it's going to be another aspect of it. But we try and get as many aspects around it at the time that you're working on it. In global, you know, this I'm not enough, as we talked about earlier, these feelings of I'm not enough, there are so many instances in our lives when that came up that's when we're going to look for more of a overall, am I feeling better about this in general? Even if it's still high, I can notice that I'm bringing that whole volume behind that voice, behind that, the experiences, the sense of truth in that statement, I am bringing that down. And while it's not zero, and while I may still have it, it doesn't mean that I'm not working on it. Okay, so those are really great ways, again, for anybody who is experiencing this sense of it's kind of popping back up again, know you're doing the right thing, knowing that you continue to work on it. I can tell you from working with people for very long periods of time is that people will report that they start to notice that they have longer and longer periods of times of feeling in the well-being. And so you're also measuring, wow, I felt good longer. I'm feeling good. That sense of feeling good, feeling peaceful is happening more often, and it's lasting a little bit longer. All of these are signals, signs to you that shifts are being made. We want to look at a multi-area way of addressing shifts and change, not just one way. So, Catherine says, really insidious how these negative self-talk commentary can just run autopilot. Do I have to tap on everything I say to myself? Might take forever. Well, Catherine, I hope that, you know, we've kind of handled this in other cases. I'll reiterate the part around recognizing at that time when I'm saying things to myself and changing it right then and there. We're tapping on past, but in our moment, as soon as we recognize, oh my gosh, I'm going into my same old, change it right there. You know, you can tap in some ways just in the recognition of, my goodness, look at me, I just went right back into that. You know, even though I used to say these kinds of things, even though I caught myself saying those same kind of things all over again, I'm choosing to change that now. Even though that old tape still has some space in my head that I'm not enough, that I can't do it, that nobody's interested in what I've got, that I'm not worth it, I'm not deserving, whatever your thing is, I choose to change it right now. I accept that I'm where I am, and as I go forward, I'm choosing to change it. So that is your point of power, Catherine. All right. Victoria says, I have had this huge breakthrough about fear of success and fear of failure, and now I'm going through a time of bliss and amazing things happening. How can I know that it is my intuition that is guiding me and not the strong critical voice that has been with me for so long? Sometimes it is easy to tell the difference. Is it my doubt and fear that is still popping up when I am unsure and questioning myself? Well, I love this question because it just talks about what I was saying is that as we start to make shifts, we start to notice small changes and we start to feel better about things in our life. There's something that you said, which is that you're going through a time of bliss, which tells me that you're feeling good. I would say that if you were being guided by your strong critical voice, you wouldn't be feeling good. That is the difference, is that your strong critical voice has probably left you with feelings of not being blissful, being, you know, a little bit more fearful and doubt, and that you're still noticing it. Now, you're noticing the difference between when that voice is present and the feeling that you get, and when that voice has been quieted and that you get to be in your natural healthy state, that feel-good state. So when you say, is it my fear and doubt that is still popping up when I am sure I'm questioning myself? Yeah, whenever you're out of that, you know that there's something that's going on that I'm focusing in a way that's causing me to feel this fear or to feel this doubt or to wonder how long is this going to last. Think about what might be coming up. You know, is this really going to last? Good things never last. What did I learn about the good times? Do I feel that they're all fleeting, that they don't last, that they're hard to come by, they're few and far between? This is where you get to say, oh yeah, man, I didn't think about that. I used to hear that all the time. I mean, as I said, things like this get said all the time in our childhood with just, you know, hey, you know, all good things come to an end. We heard that probably hear it on TV now, just watching TVs and commercials. We don't think about what those things did on our belief level now. We just took them in and say, yeah, that's true. Good things never last. After all, you know, we all went on vacation. We all had a good time, and then the vacation had to end. So if we recognize, wow, I have had a lot of these beliefs. I picked them up really in a very unconscious state. I just took them on. I took other people's beliefs on. I acknowledge it all the time when the neighbors and I are talking, oh, but you know how it is. Good times never last. Good things never last. And we go, yeah, it's so true. And now we're really realizing, wait a minute, I don't want to believe that. I don't want that to be my belief. You know, that there is a season, and fortunately there's an abundance of season. That while this good thing may be done for right now, what it leaves me is, what's my next good thing? Because there is an abundance of good things. Now I can't wait. So that I can say goodbye because I'm looking forward to the next one. See, these things all shift. And so I love that you're asking these questions because you're starting to notice those shifts. And now we're trying to figure out what to do with them. Diane asks, when I have something come up, I know the negative to tap on, but I am a little lost with how to do the turnaround into a positive. So, Diane, what I would say here is, as I had said earlier, a couple of things are, you know, find some positive statements, write them down. I know you're not struggling with the difficulty of what to say, but when to do that. And here's just a couple of ideas, is by having some of those positive things around, it will give you some idea because you can read them and feel, well, do I feel ready to look at it from this different perspective? Moving towards what we call the positive, or I prefer to, you know, to say it as the way I wish to feel, the belief I'm choosing to move towards, is really about ready to accept it. And so if you're a 10 on something, let's say we're working on something, I'm going to use that belief in the beginning, you know, I am not enough, and say, when that's at a 10, when you are feeling in that moment, that's not a 10, doing or that is at a 10, when you do a round of tapping, chances are you're not going to be at a zero. You're not going to be able to, you know, one round of tapping and then you're like, oh, no, I am enough. I'm plenty. I've always been enough. Chances are that's going to take a little while to come down. And when you're at a 10, there is no room for a positive. It's really difficult to get a positive in there. If you are filled with dread and fear around an event that happened, adding the positive in can feel like a very big stretch. And a lot of times, if it's added too soon, we want to kick it right back out. It's like, there's no place for this. All I notice is that I can't accept the positive. What I tell people is that when you're doing your own tapping, if you tap long enough, you're willing to stay with what you don't want and really stay focused in that, it becomes the most natural thing as that charge comes down for you to move into a positive round or to the shift in round. We're going to call it positive. It's the most natural thing for you to take place because there is no charge. It's a little sign that your mind is it's more out of that fight or flight because now you can get creative. Well, maybe I can try that. Now, wait a minute. Now that I look at that, maybe that isn't so true. You know, maybe that's this old belief that I'm not enough isn't as true as it used to feel. Maybe there are plenty of times I have been enough. Maybe there were times before where I didn't feel, you know, I felt that that was the reason that this didn't happen or I didn't get picked for the chorus or I didn't get that auditioning part, you know, or my kids messed up or they failed their math test and I thought, well, see, it was my fault. Now I see that, well, wait a minute. You know, maybe there are other reasons I didn't get it. Maybe it wasn't a good part for me to get anyhow and I'm kind of glad I didn't. Or maybe I learned something from that or I have more resources since tapping on that. I can see different things that I might be able to do. In other words, it will come up naturally because you're not fighting new ideas, new ways of seeing things. So the timing is really about when I'm prepared to see things through a different light. I like to play, this is one of my favorite ones, it'll give you an idea, is even though I'm not enough, going to use that, you know, even though I'm not enough, and then at the next point go, but what if I was? And then at the, let's say we started at the eyebrow and said, I'm not enough. And at the side of the eye, we went, but what if I was? Under the eye, I would go, but I'm not enough. Under the nose, but what if I was? In other words, we kind of keep going back in and playing with this because you'll know when saying, but what if I was? Or what if I could? Even though I refuse to prospect for my business, what if I could? Even though I won't do it, I absolutely refuse to do it. What if I did? Even though I'm not enough, what if I was? So you can see how this, I'm always planting that. I'm going to play with a little bit this idea that, but what if I could be? What if I am getting ready? And so by putting them both in there, you're going to know when it feels comfortable to be able to say, maybe it is a possibility. Maybe I am getting there. And then that might shift your tapping a little bit just into more of the, I am open to the possibility that it could be happening right now. I am open to the possibility that I am starting to change this. I do feel different about it. So I must be making that change already right now. Okay, so these are great questions. You guys are really showing me how far along you're coming in your tapping to be able to ask those kinds of questions. Now here's one from Penny that I just love because it starts out with, Hi Mary, as I listen to a lot of your answers, I notice that a great majority of the problems stem from childhood. This just adds a new dimension to my worries that maybe I'm screwing my kids up as they see me worry about money. Knowing this, is there anything I can do for my kids or have them start doing now to unblock anything that may have already been developed? Or is there anything I can have them do to keep future blocks from setting in? Just an FYI, their ages are 8, 10, and 14, so I would need age-appropriate techniques. Thank you so much, Penny. Penny, I love this question. On many, many different levels, when I first read it, I thought, now this is great because I get to answer it from so many different levels. So we are, you know, as children, we learned our experiences, not just from our parents, but from all around us, the messages we got from fellow playmates and from teachers and whatnot. So we were always being bombarded. We are always being bombarded by other people's views and opinions and their beliefs and whatnot. So some of those we're holding up against our own. Is that true for me? That's what they believe. Do I believe that too? So the value in that is that we're starting to explore our own beliefs and recognize I don't want to take on somebody else's belief. Just like I had said before, it's in the couple of answers before, is that we hear things and now we're making decisions. Is that true for me? So what I love is you're doing, first and foremost, you're doing the most important piece, which is doing your work. Because since your kids are watching you model, they're watching how you are, how you feel about money. When you go to the grocery store, do you walk up and down the aisles with pleasure, anticipating that the money that you are going to spend is going to be well spent, that you're able to enjoy yourself spending that money? When you go out shopping for them, what is the message they get? Or do you go through the market in kind of a tight and anxious way? Well, I don't know. Which one is it? You know, where's the one that's on sale? No, we can't buy those right now. That's too expensive. You're setting examples in your present day life. And as you are changing your own beliefs and anxieties around money, you are modeling that for them. So on top of your own tapping around your beliefs, you're going to start paying attention to what it is you're saying. I just happened to be somewhere and I heard some woman say to her child, because we've all done it, I'm a mother of three too, I get this, I know that I have put ideas into my children's head as well. And she said to him, you know, that better be what you want, because that's all you're getting for the summer. And I thought to myself, I could feel my stomach kind of tightening up, getting that sense of, oh my gosh, you know, that's all I get. And feeling the contraction, just hearing her words, and she wasn't even talking to me. So it gave me something to tap about by all means. But I think she isn't saying that to her children thinking, boy, I hope I really screw up your beliefs about money. I bet you my words are going to come back to bite you in the butt when you're in your 40s and you're trying to get your business going, or you're trying to get your finances settled. I don't think that was her intention at all, because she was just saying, you know, make some good choices because this is what we've got right now. So while we have already indoctrinated our children with some of these beliefs, we are now aware of them. And so when they're repeating them back to us, when we're in a situation and you see them out shopping, you get to be aware of what you're saying to them. You get to listen to what they're saying back to you. Like, oh gosh, I'm really struggling like this because I know, you know, it took me a long time to save this money and I'm not going to get any more for a while. And you can say to them, I'm curious, how do you feel? Do you think that money is easy to come by, or do you think it's really hard? And now you're asking them to question their beliefs right there at the nice age of 8, 10, or 14. They're having to look at that instead of being on autopilot and say to themselves, they're not thinking it out loud. They're wondering, huh, what is it I believe? And you can say, I used to believe that way too. Now I believe this. All right. So some of these things are happening not necessarily through tapping, but because you've done your tapping, you're going to be aware of your beliefs, you're going to be aware of what you're listening for them, and you're going to be able to help change them on a cognitive level without even really having to tap. Now, I will offer you this. There are, I'm sure, out there resources on, you know, how to tap with children and whatnot if you see that they have a belief that's really getting in their way. But here's a little game that you can play too, which is to create a list of wonderful abundance, gratitude, affirmations. There are tons out there. Louise Hay has got some beautiful ones. I love the one I've got. It sitting right in the wall, right in front of me. It says, "Only good experiences lie before me." That was one that I had learned from Louise, or one that she also says is, "Life loves me." I love that too. I have that printed up. I have it sitting on my wall. I look at it when I'm doing these recordings and whatnot. And so, one thing you can do with your children is just touch the spots. Instead of tapping, just have them touch their eyebrow and then repeat one of those affirmations. Touch the side of the eye or the under the eye. to be honest with you, you don't have to go through all of those points. You might use some points that are very easy for them to reach without feeling too odd. I mean, after all, 14 is, you know, kind of when they start thinking we're a little weird anyhow. But, you know, maybe it's just the collarbone, or maybe it's hands over the heart and saying that affirmation, you know, pressing on the body and saying that affirmation, going through it, not just about money, but about life. Life loves me. Life is abundant. Life is taking care of me. Only good experiences lie before me. Because when we have those inner beliefs, we walk around with our arms much more open to receive. Think about what it would have been like for you as you were walking around with those very same kind of beliefs. You know, what would be different for you now? So now you have the opportunity to help your children to embed those. And they'll be able to question other people's beliefs when they say life is hard, money is hard, money doesn't come to me easily. And they'll think to themselves, huh, that's interesting because I found it very different for me. I think money comes very easily. Okay, so you're in a fabulous, fabulous place with our kids to be able to teach them. By the way, this isn't limited to our kids. We have all these other wonderful people in our life who make statements all the time about money and what it's like and how hard it is. Think about coworkers. Think about other family members. And being able to say, not, you know, you shouldn't say that, but be able to say, wow, that's interesting. For me, this is what I believe. For me, this is my experience. And now you are increasing your sphere of influence, because now you're talking to other people and you're having them question their beliefs. So if nothing else, you're affirming yours. If you find an especially difficult person who you've said something to and they went, ah, bah, humbug, that's not how it is. You know, you've got your head in the clouds. You go, hey, guess what? I have some work to do. I'm going to go and take that into my tapping about how it felt when that person got angry that I had my own belief, or that I was contradicting them, or I was making them push up against their belief. Maybe it brought up the, why should it be easy for me when it's hard for you? You know, you could be talking to a grandparent. I have another question here about somebody who was working with talking to their 90-some-year-old relative, and they really recognized some of those messages that were going around and things that they grew up with. And, you know, how do you handle that? Well, one, it brings up our sense of there's a feeling that comes with it that tells us, oh my gosh, I am carrying around this belief. And I can silently thank them, because if that was in my subconscious and I didn't have access to it and they said something and all of a sudden my body became body electric, that's helpful for me. Because who knows how long it would have taken for that to come uncovered. But here it was, these relatives, just being who they were, said what they said, and by God, I just found a whole bunch of stuff in my body around money that I get to tap on, the anxieties about it, the beliefs I have about it. So there's a value there, as well as sometimes what we notice is that when people say it, we find ourselves not rattled. Look at that information. They say it, and we so easily go, huh, oh, that's not how it is for me. And we go, oh my gosh, 2 months ago, I would have been miserable if they had said that. It would have sunk me back into so much doubt and fear. And look, now my mind kind of went, you know, interesting that it's that way for you. For me, it's a little different. And when you start to recognize that, you go, oh my gosh, I am really making a change here. I can see things shifting. And that's when you really get in more in love with tapping, because you can really see the changes that are happening. And now maybe we're having a little influence on somebody else. Maybe we're modeling for them a different way of doing it. Victoria says, I do the tapping meditations and I find trigger phrases arise in the moment and don't want to break the energy pattern. So I decide I will wait to write them down. Then after the tapping is complete, I can't recall the trigger words. Am I clearing the energy, or do I have some threads to unravel? Will this make itself known by continued repetition of the meditation? Great question, Victoria. I'm glad to hear that the meditations are being so helpful for you as well. My thought would be is that sometimes I notice for myself and a lot for my clients is too, is that while we're tapping on something, sometimes this little phenomena can happen is that we get this It's like a short little movie reel of all these different little times float before our eyes of past events. And they're not full-blown events. They're like little glimpses of it. Bah, 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 bah. And I think of it, my personal metaphor for that is like that bubble wrap, you know. It's like I'm popping these little tiny memories that have popped up. They've risen to the surface. They're there. They flash before my eyes, but none of them really were big. I might just be releasing them as I'm doing this big tapping. And so I'm not sure if that's what that might be happening, because when you're going back to try and collect them, they're not there. Now, my guess would be is that if they show themselves again and again, it will mean that they haven't cleared and that they're coming back up to show you. But if you never find them again, I'm just going to say go with that. Feel comfortable with it, knowing that you're doing the work, that you're subconscious is working with you. It's going, hey, here were some few things, the incidences that happen along the way that might have carried a few emotional charges on them, and you're popping them, pop, 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 as you're doing that tapping. And you'll continue to go forward with the meditation, and you will be able to answer that. If something rears its head again and it becomes clearer and clearer, you might then want to take a break. You may say to yourself, you know what, this is about the third time I've thought of this. Let me just stop in the middle of the meditation, pause it, write that down, because it's reared its head three times, then go back through the meditation, or focus your meditation on that event. Stop your mind and say, you know what, I'm going to just focus on this while I go through the rest of this meditation, if it keeps presenting itself. But if they're popping up and they're disappearing, I'm going to say good for you, just keep going with that, and you're on a good track. We've got time for at least one more, so let me get this one. Emily asked, my goal is to write a book, but I have anxiety when I sit in front of the screen. I have tapped on fear of failure and fear of success, but I am still experiencing resistance. Now I am worried that I'm behind because I am not working on my goal. Well, Emily, as you heard me talk about the person who wasn't out prospecting, you know, you can go through this by tapping. Again, looking at that forward picture, imagine yourself sitting in front of the screen. Imagine yourself writing. If you find yourself, I just can't even do that, then ask yourself, what is it on the other side of writing this? What are my fears? When you say I've tapped on fear of failure and fear of success, you know, did you open that up? What specific fear do you have? Where has this happened? What could happen once the book is written? What are some of the things that your mind might be creating in this future picture that feels overwhelming for you? In the past, a few of these past Q&As, I've given example of a person that I work with who is writing a book that's ready to be published, ready to be launched. And one of those things is the feeling of, boy, once she's reaching a much larger audience, one of the things that came up was feeling that she's going to have so many more people that she's responsible for. That, you know, life is going to get its own momentum and she's never going to have any time to herself. So those things can very easily get in the way of working. That's what procrastination comes from, is that our sense that, you know, there's something on the other side as soon as I'm done with this that's going to be painful in some way. And that's why I'm not doing it. Your mind will do more to keep you from doing this perceived threat, this perceived pain, than the pain that you have of being behind schedule. Okay? I have myself, I mean, when it comes to creativity, it is, I love the tapping, because I can't tell you how many times I have started out any project, whether it's a recorded project or whether it is a written project, by tapping on, even though my mind is blank, even though I don't know what to write, even though I don't know what order to put it in, even though I don't know what comes first, even though I'm sure my words are going to be unclear, even though I'm not sure what I'm saying, even though somebody's going to go, what the heck was that about? Even though I can't start. I mean, I've just tap, 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 just arguing. Literally arguing for the fact that I cannot do it. Don't you get it? I can't do it. To only find at myself at some point getting rather bored with my own tapping and going, what the heck, I'm just going to write this, and moved right in to what I needed to do. So Never underestimate the sense of a good rebellious tapping. I don't want to, not going to, not going to happen. Sometimes I don't even have to go into, because there's anything on the other side. You know, what am I afraid of? I've tapped on those as well, but sometimes just getting the pump primed is what we're really looking for, is just getting yourself in motion. And tapping on the I can't, I won't, here's all the things that I'm feeling right now, here's my concern right now, opens up the space for you to just do it. I know I've talked to Nick about this before. We've talked about how him using the tapping to clear out blocks so he's been able to write. And, you know, I mean, geez, he's on his second book. It certainly is working for him. I know that it's worked for other people as well as myself. So get in there, worry, you know, all the worry, what is it? Just keep tapping and then see what happens. Let me know. I want to hear from you about that. I want to try and get in one more. I know we have just a few minutes. One more from Veronica. She says, hi, thank you for the critical voice module. One of my biggest wishes is that I can pay my flat and help my brother to pay his. I tap and I tap for feeling better with this impossible manifestation. And when I believe that I'm changing my thoughts to positive ones, I talk with my siblings or my parents and they always say, we do not have lucky for business or for love or for getting money, etc. And I feel that. What I have been working for is destroyed. What can I do when a person says something negative and I cannot start tapping right here? Well, Veronica, I listened to everything that I've said ahead of this, because I've referred to that about what do I say. You have identified some beautiful words and sentiments and energies that have been laid down in your family. And while you may not be able to feel that you can start tapping right there when they say it, and by the way, that's what bathrooms are for, because you can go to the bathroom and you can tap, is that you get to say that. You wrote them right here. You actually started by saying that I have these impossible manifestations. And my guess is because you have still some of your own belief that, is that really possible for me to pay for my flat and help them? Can I help them pay? That feels impossible. And so what I hear is that you still have your own belief, and then theirs really activated. Like, oh my gosh, you know, I thought I was doing so much better. And that's how you tap. You're going to find a big difference. I wish you take this question, put it in your journal so that you can use this to say, how true is that? When we say, even though they taught me that we have no luck in business, we have no luck in love, not for getting money, that was their rule. That's what they believed. I love and accept myself, and I'm open to the idea I can have my own way of seeing this. Even though, what would it mean if I didn't have the same beliefs as my family did? Would I lose that connection? Who would I be? Would they accept me if I didn't have their beliefs? I honor myself for the loyalty that I've shown to them, my family, and myself, and their beliefs, and I'm still open to changing them. Okay, even though it still feels impossible to really ever be able to pay for my flat and help them too, that still feels impossible, because they told me that we're unlucky, we're not good at it. What if I was? What if they weren't, but I was? What if they didn't know they could be? They just believed this. What if I was really helping them by changing my belief and showing them that it is possible? Maybe ultimately I'd be helping them. Maybe I'm open to that. Maybe I'm just going to start. So Veronica, I wanted to end with one. This was a beautiful one. And I think it's where we all are, is to recognize that our tapping is influencing everybody else. Not just that I can still stay connected to the people in my life, but that I'm also being able to influence them. We're influencing our children, we're influencing our coworkers, our neighbors, our best friends, and our family members. If we're just willing to be able to be a little uncomfortable saying, that may be true that I'm not going to be holding their belief anymore, but what if I could be an example of living with a different belief? What if that freed them from having to believe that belief that you know, my siblings grew up with as well? What if they were able to have more happiness because I was willing to break the mold? Would I be willing to do that? And I know for most of us, our answers are yes. And even if it's no, they shouldn't be, we've got something new to tap on. And then we can always get to say, but I'm going to open myself up to being able to change this for me. So another great week of questions. You guys are really moving along this track. I can tell that you've been tapping even when you're stuck. You're doing something. You're listening to these. You're getting ready to do it. I know that some people are still struggling with procrastinating on getting the tapping done. I would say to you, tap along with at least the modules right now. And as long as you're doing that, there's a really good chance that you're going to break through. And next thing you know, you're going to be doing more of your tapping. So until next week, you guys, I'll talk to you soon. Have a great day and stay brilliant.